General Meetings, Wheaton, August 1961, Gospel by C.D. Anderson.
We turn to the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Starting with verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with a shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come. For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring him hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Well, there must be a very good reason why we have such a word as this in this chapter. I want to speak about this supper, and Lord willing, I want to mention three other suppers tonight. But this supper is a very important supper. It's called a great supper. It's the supper of salvation. It says a certain man made a great supper. Great preparations have taken place. Much work has gone into preparing this supper. Oh, it's a great supper because the work in preparing it is great. And then it's a great supper because the person that has prepared it is great. The person is great, and the work is great, and that makes it a great supper. Now, the one who has prepared the supper is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself has prepared the supper of salvation. And oh, what a work that was to prepare that supper. I believe we see the heart of the one manifested here in the 13th verse. It says, "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind." It's the blessed Lord Himself saying that. He's displaying His own heart when He says that. And that shows His heart toward poor, lost, guilty, helpless sinners. What could these poor do for themselves? What can the maimed do for themselves? And the lame and the blind? Oh, they're in a wretched condition. They're in a helpless condition. They're in a very needy condition. And the blessed Lord says, if you're going to make a feast for anyone, invite that kind of people. But the Lord was just telling out His own heart. That's exactly what God has done. God has provided a supper, a feast for poor, helpless sinners. Some of us have tasted of that feast. We've already partaken of that supper, and it's a wonderful supper. It's a supper of salvation. It's a precious thing to know our sins forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to have eternal life. It's a great thing to have a perfect standing before God. Oh, what a salvation God has provided. What about you? Have you tasted of this great supper? Have you tasted the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you know you can't separate salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not something that you get apart from the blessed Lord. Do you know what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is He precious to you? Well, I know He is precious to many of you here tonight. But there are some of you who haven't tasted the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't tasted this supper. And God is just waiting for you to taste of that supper. He's already bidden you. He's already told you to come. Because we read here in the 17th verse that the servant was sent out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come." It's supper time now, and the word has gone out. The invitation has gone out, and it says, "Come. Come. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," He says, "and I will give you rest." Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, many times in the Word of God, we have that invitation, come. God wants you to come. The characteristic of man that has sinned is that he's running away from God, hiding from God. Adam in the Garden of Eden had sinned, and then he hid from God. Hid away from God. But ever since man has sinned, God has been inviting him to come. Come back. Oh yes, God was walking in the garden that day, and he was seeking Adam. God wanted Adam near himself, but Adam was running away. God wants you tonight. God wants you near himself, but you're running away. You're going in the other direction. You're hiding from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Yes, that's true of us. Can you say that about yourself? That you've gone astray? You've run away from God? Oh, that you might see that tonight, that God's word is true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's your condition tonight. God sees you that way, and God has told you your condition. Oh, it's so important that you believe this word tonight. This is the word of God, God himself speaking to you tonight. And the word of God to you about yourself is that you're a sinner, a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, a sinner dead in trespasses and sins. And you need this great supper. You need the forgiveness of your sins. You need eternal life. And if you're still in your sins, oh, you're in an awful condition. You're lost. You're guilty. And you're on your way to a lost eternity. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you have sinned, and you're dead in your sin. But there's hope for you tonight. God says, come. I want you to be saved. I want you to taste this great supper that I've provided for you. Well, now let's think about the person that provided this supper. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Who is he? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and we find in Scripture that he's the creator of this vast universe. And we might think about the universe that he has created to get a glimpse of his greatness. Over in Harvard University, in the science department, they had determined that there were a certain amount of galaxies of stars in the heavens. In the northern hemisphere, they judged that they could see about 1 billion galaxies of stars. A galaxy is like the Milky Way that we see with our naked eye is a galaxy. They said there are about 1 billion of them in the northern hemisphere that can be seen in the northern hemisphere. We judge there must be about that number that can be seen in the southern hemisphere, which would make about 2 billion. But we estimate that we can see only 1% of the stars, of all the galaxies in the heavens. We estimate that there must be at least 200 billion galaxies, Milky Ways, in the universe. Who made them all? This person that we're reading about tonight, that provided this great supper, that great person, the creator of this universe, who has made so many galaxies of stars that there are about 100 for every person living in the world. That's my Savior. That's the person that's providing this great supper. He is the one that has done that great work. He is the one that said on Calvary's cross, "It is finished." What is finished? The work of redemption. We see that one going up Calvary's hill, bearing his cross. And when he gets to Calvary's hill, they take him and they put him on that cross. They drive the nails through his hands. They drive the nails through his feet. That blessed Creator, who has created all of this vast universe, a few of his creatures, take him, manhandle him, physically take hold of him, and nail him to that cross. And there he hangs between heaven and earth. And there he suffers. And there he lays down his life. And before he lays down his life, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you answer that question? Can you answer that question tonight? He says, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know why? Ah, he died for you. He died for sinners. He died for sinners. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. God demanded that the sin question must be settled. God is a holy God, and the penalty for sin must be paid. And the Lord Jesus Christ submitted to paying that penalty. He went to Calvary's cross, and there he laid down his life for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, it was judgment. The judgment of God against sin that caused the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he lays down his life. But even before that, he says, it is finished. And then the word says, he gave up the ghost. He voluntarily laid down his life. And then a soldier with a spear pierced his side, and out came the blood and the water. And that's why we read in another place, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If you would take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, your sins will be all washed away. God wants to forgive your sins. God wants you to be washed from your sin. And if you would take that blessed person who has done that wonderful work as your own Savior, you would have your sins forgiven, all washed away, and you would receive eternal life, and you would become a child of God. Because as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, you can't separate the work of Christ from the person of Christ. To get the benefit of the work of Christ, you must accept the person of Christ, and you must make the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Savior. Oh, yes, salvation is a person. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you have partaken of this great supper. We see the guest over in the 15th chapter partaking of the supper, the prodigal son. He comes home. He owns himself a sinner. He sinned against heaven. He sinned against his father. And he owns his unworthiness. But what does the father do? The father runs out to meet him, falls on his neck and kisses him, puts on him the best robe, the shoes, the ring, and he's brought into the father's house, and the feast begins. The moment you come home, the moment you answer to the invitation to come. Oh, the prodigal came. He came home. And what did he find? He found a feast. The moment you answer that invitation to come, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you'll find a feast too. That's when the feast begins. It says, and they began to be merry. That's the beginning of joy. Up until now, you've been unhappy. You've been sad. You've been confused. You've been upset, disturbed. You had no peace, no joy, no happiness. Tonight can be the beginning of merriment for you if you will take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and partake of this great supper. It says many were bidden. God is bidding you tonight. God has said, come. He's saying, come to you. It's supper time. Yes, it's supper time right now. It's still the day of grace. And God is still giving this precious salvation to anyone who will have it. Whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we notice here that they begin to make excuse. The first said, I've bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. A piece of ground. Well, that's a piece of this earth. This man was so occupied with this earth that he didn't have time to partake of the great supper. Is that your case tonight? Are you so taken up with earth? Are you so earthbound that you say, oh, I wouldn't like to leave this world. I'd like to stay here. Is that what keeps you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Savior? Is that what keeps you from the great supper? Is that your excuse? Oh, I'm too busy with the things of earth. Then another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. 5 yoke of oxen? Well, it was something to be proud of in that day, no doubt. It was something to have 1 yoke of oxen, but this man had 5 of them. 5 yokes. There was lots of power there, a lot of energy. When it came to pulling a load, he could pull a great load. When it came to plowing a field, he could do a lot of work in a day. No doubt he was proud of that 5 yoke team. Proud. Perhaps it's pride tonight that's keeping you from this great supper. Oh, you say, well, that's too simple for me. It's too great a humiliation for me to take my place as a poor lost sinner and own that I'm guilty before God. Oh, I just couldn't do that. Why, I'm a pretty good fellow. I'm a good boy. I thought I was a nice girl, and I thought I'd get to heaven some way on my own. I didn't think I needed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Why do you think like that? Perhaps you don't say it out loud, but you're saying it in your heart. It's pride. You have something there that you're proud of. But how can you be proud of yourself and what you have done when God says all of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Whatever goodness that you might be able to point to in yourself, God says it's filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, you have nothing to be proud of tonight. Perhaps you have some of this world's goods, just like this man, and you're proud of them, and you're occupied with it, and you're finding your satisfaction in that, and that's your excuse for not taking the great supper. But you're not happy. It doesn't make any difference how much you might have of the things of this world. They'll never make you happy. Happiness is not to be found in the things of this world, but happiness is to be found in obeying the Word of God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where happiness is to be found. And another one said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. This man allowed an earthly relationship to stand between him and the supper. Is that what stands between you and becoming a child of God? Is that what's in the way tonight so that you don't feel free to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's attachment to friends. There's attachment to relatives. And you're putting them first before the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, those friends of yours and those relatives of yours cannot help you when it comes to your eternal destiny. Can they help you? Can they see you across on the other side? No, they can't help you one bit. Perhaps they're telling you tonight, oh, don't get concerned about your sins. Don't get concerned about salvation. Don't get concerned about what that man is talking about. There's no hurry. I remember my mother telling me that when she was in soul trouble about her sins, she went to the minister and asked him what to do. She said, I'm troubled about my sins. I'm worried about eternity. What shall I do? Oh, the minister said, don't worry about that. You're a good girl. You haven't done anything really bad. You're all right. You'll be all right. Ah, they're friends of ours, perhaps relatives, that would tell us the very same thing. Oh, everything is all right. You don't have to worry about those things. You don't have to worry about sins, sin question. You're all right. Are we going to let our friends and relatives stand in our way of taking the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Because you know what's at the end of a sinner's life, a Christless life? and eternity in the lake of fire is at the end of a Christless life. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. Because the Lord Jesus was telling some that they should die in their sins. And if they died in their sins, he says, whither I go, ye cannot come. And if you die in your sins tonight, you can't go where the Lord Jesus Christ is. There's no hope for you. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Ah, yes, the Lord knows all about it. He knows what you're doing tonight with the message of the gospel. The Lord knows your attitude toward him. He reads your heart. He knows how you feel about him. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Ah, those who make excuse, they're going to lose out. They won't be in the Father's house. They won't be in heaven. Don't make excuses tonight. This is not the time for making excuses. This is the time for being serious, closing in with God's offer of mercy, and taking the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because God is intent on one thing, that his house is going to be filled, and there's going to be merriment, great joy there in the coming day, and he wants you there. But if you won't have this great supper, if you make your excuses, you'll be left outside. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That's why we have a gospel meeting tonight, that you might be compelled to come in. Man was driven out of paradise, but God has provided salvation so that man can be brought into the place of blessing again. Oh, thank God for that, that he's made a way whereby the man that was driven out can be brought in again. But isn't it sad that man doesn't want to come in again? So we have to have a gospel meeting tonight and preach the gospel, that you might hear it, and that it might be impressed upon you how God loves you, and that you have need of salvation, that you're a sinner and you need Christ. And the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart tonight. You read in the 24th chapter of Genesis how the servant ran to meet Rebekah. The Holy Spirit of God tonight is meeting you. He's speaking to your heart. Are you going to respond to him? Oh, I well remember when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart using the Word of God. And the verse that was especially impressed upon me by the Spirit of God was this, in Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Oh, that went home to my heart like an arrow, and it was the Spirit of God that drove it home and made me to see that I was lost, unsaved, and oh, what a precarious position I was in. The harvest ended. Harvest passed and the summer ended, and I wasn't saved. Are you saved tonight? This is the third gospel meeting of this series of meetings. You've heard the gospel preached twice already. This is the third time. Are you saved yet? Well, if the Lord tarries, these meetings will be over. Past, ended. Is it going to be said of you that you're still not saved? Oh, don't let that be said of you. No. Close in with God's offer of mercy tonight. Get saved tonight. Don't wait another night, because the gospel may not be preached again. The Lord Jesus Christ may come tonight and take us all home to the Father's house. But the Spirit of God is speaking to you tonight. But the Word says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Yes, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, and the day of grace has been lengthened out to nearly 2,000 years now. But don't be ignorant of this one thing, that as judgment came already upon this world in the flood, judgment is coming again. Yes, it's coming again. So be ready. Come now and partake of the supper. Or what about these who had been bidden and made excuses and wouldn't have the supper? For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Oh, what a sad note. For all eternity, they'll not taste of that supper. They'll know nothing about the salvation of God. They'll be in the lake of fire, and they'll not be tasting the great supper, but they'll be tasting the bitterness and pangs and pain of judgment. Which do you want tonight? Well, let us look at another supper. There's a supper mentioned over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what is called in the Word of God the Lord's Supper. Now, if you have taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have tasted of this great supper, and you really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, why, it's your privilege to partake of this other supper, the Lord's Supper. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you partaken of the supper of salvation? Can you say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day? Can you say, I know I'm saved? Well, if you're really saved, then it's your privilege to partake of this supper, the supper of remembrance, the supper of thanksgiving, when we are gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ to remember Him in His death. Ah, the one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior knows that He died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The one who can say, Jesus bore my sins in His own body on the tree. Oh, he'll find a great joy in partaking of this supper, because it gives him the opportunity to express the praise and thanksgiving that's in his heart to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, maybe there are some here tonight that haven't tasted of this supper. But if you're really the Lord's and walking with Him in obedience to His Word, why, it's your privilege to partake of this supper and rejoice with all the rest of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we'll turn on over to another supper. Over in Revelation chapter 19, We've read about the supper of salvation and the supper of remembrance. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And now we'll read about the supper of joy. Verse 7 of Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the supper of joy. And it speaks of those who are going to be there. Are you going to be there? Well, this supper might take place very shortly, because as soon as the Christians are caught up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, to be with him, shortly that supper will take place. And the Lord Jesus Christ may come at any moment. The shout may be heard, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you're ready for that, why, you'll be there at this supper, the supper of joy. Oh, what a scene of joy that will be. All around the Lord Jesus Christ, all gathered around him, there he will be the central figure. All eyes focused on him, everyone worshiping him, everyone singing praise and thanksgiving to him, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. That's the song they'll be singing up there. And if you don't know anything about being washed from your sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't sing that song, and you can never hope to be there. And if you did get there, you wouldn't have any song to sing. And if you tried to sing a song, you'd have to sing about your own works, and you'd be all out of tune. There's only one song they sing up there, and that's to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Can you sing that song? Well, if you've tasted the supper of salvation, it will be your privilege to be at this supper and rejoice. Oh, what a time of joy that will be. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. There's a day coming when those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ here will be given to him to be his forever in eternal relationship. We were speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as creator of this vast, vast universe. Won't it be a great privilege to be the special companion of that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all eternity? It says his wife hath made herself ready. We'll be acknowledged as in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll acknowledge us as his companion. Oh, wouldn't you like to be the companion of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be his companion. Oh, it was a happy day for the Lord when he was hanging on the cross, and that one thief turned to him and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Remember me, he said. And the Lord said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Ah, that was a bright spot in that time of suffering. for the Lord Jesus Christ there on the cross. While he was actually hanging there on the cross, he got one to be his companion. His companion for all eternity. Wouldn't you like to be the companion of the Lord Jesus Christ? He wants you. Yes, he does. He wants you to be his tonight. He wants you for himself. Oh, how can you resist him? How can you resist such love? He wants you for himself to be yours, to be his forever. He wants you right now. Will you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I'll come and I'll partake of that supper now. I want that supper of salvation. I want to be there. But there's another supper spoken of in this chapter. And oh, this is a solemn, serious subject. In the 17th verse of this 19th chapter of Revelation, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. This angel is standing in the place of supreme authority. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Oh, here we get a picture, a prophetic picture, and it's a prophetic vision. Something John sees, a vision that the Lord gives him of what's going to take place. There's going to be a terrible slaughter. And this will take place after the Lord Jesus Christ has taken his own to be with him in glory. And those who are left behind will go through this. And they will be in that great slaughter when thousands, no doubt millions, of souls will be destroyed, and they'll be covering the earth. And God makes provision for all the fowls that fly in the heavens to come together to clean up all of that, because there will be so much corruption lying around on the ground after that terrible slaughter. But God makes provision for these birds to come together to clean it up. What a supper that will be for all those fowls. It's very possible that you'll be there. Yeah. May the Lord speak to your heart tonight that you might take Christ as your Savior and be saved from the judgment to come. Ah, that's only part of it too. That's only the first death. Then comes the second death, which is the lake of fire. Yes, the first death is the separation of the spirit from the body. The second death is the separation from the person from God, confined forever in the place of judgment. Oh, how solemn, how solemn. Well, God has presented to you the great supper, the supper of salvation. He has given you the invitation to come, partake of that supper. Will you have Christ tonight? Will you have him? Receive him as your own and be saved. And then you may have the privilege of being at the Lord's Supper. And you will have the joy of being at the marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing. But oh, if you don't take Christ tonight as your Savior, judgment is before you. And oh, there's going to be a terrible time of slaughter and judgment, terrible time of trouble, tribulation for this world. And the Lord Himself is going to ride out of heaven and destroy His enemies. And if you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you're an enemy of His. He that's not with me is against me. Where are you going to take your stand tonight? There's no middle ground. If you're not for Him, you're against Him. What will you do tonight? Oh, be for Him. Take Him as your Savior tonight and escape judgment to come. And have the eternal joy of being with Him forever. Yes, when we accept Christ as Savior, we have salvation. Salvation from judgment. That's the negative side of it. But we have salvation too, an eternity of joy and happiness and bliss, and the privilege of being the eternal companion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, look what you're going to miss if you don't have Christ as your Savior. What are you going to do with Him tonight? Will you have Him? Well, if you'll have Him, He'll have you. Oh, yes, He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you have Him? Will you have His supper tonight? Oh, He'd be glad to have you come and partake of the supper of salvation. Do it now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just like it said there, the supper was ready. It was supper time. Everything is ready. All you have to do is take Christ as your Savior. Will you do that tonight? And you can come just as you are. You don't have to fix yourself up. Oh no, just come as you are. Come to Jesus and take Him as your own personal Savior. Just own to Him, yes, I know I'm a lost, guilty sinner. I deserve to go to hell, but I know You died for me. I take You now as my Savior. Shall we sing number 12 on our hymn sheet? Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 12.